श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुदेवाय नमः। ॐ श्री रमणाय नमः। So we'll just continue where we left off. Now we are supposed to see number 16. Correct? This is 46. Page 46. So what is the relationship between chit and all objects of the world? All objects of the world, nothing but chit. Everything which we see is nothing but chit. Because everything represents itself to our mind. See, your mind can only deal in currency of consciousness. Your mind can only use one currency. You see, in this country, you can only spend one currency. Right? So the mind is capable of dealing only in one currency. Mind means intellect, antakarana. One currency, that is thoughts. And all of those thoughts are made up of chit. Thought is nothing but modified consciousness, if you want to say that. The pot is nothing but modified clay. But if you notice, in the modification, what happens? When you take a clump of clay and you modify it into a pot, we say modification, but really clay has not been modified. Clay is still clay, isn't it? We say it is a modification of clay, but clay is untouched. It doesn't change into anything else. Suppose you take the clay and you make a snake out of it. Right? Suddenly the clay doesn't become poisonous. So the modification is only a seeming modification. It has been given akriti. Akriti means form. That is all. So the consciousness which has modified into all of these objects, nothing has happened to the consciousness. It is untouched. So whatever you see happening in the world, in no way touches the consciousness. So you see things dying in the world. That doesn't mean that consciousness dies. You see? The snake which is made out of the clay, snake is poisonous, but clay suddenly doesn't become poisonous or anything like that. Nothing touches that. So nothing touches this consciousness. Being born, dying, coming, going. That is, no matter what you do, that is, you see, I tell you, you don't need all this Vedanta, you know. If you're a good scientist, you study science in school. Huh? In school, what they tell? Matter is neither created nor destroyed. Matter and energy, right? They tell like that in school. So what they say, that matter, energy only goes on transforming itself, isn't it? Energy goes on changing from one form to the next. But it is always there. It is always there. So that means what? Nothing really happens to it. So you just study that and the consciousness is the same thing. This reality which we are talking about is the same thing. Nothing really happens to it. It doesn't come or go. Doesn't get more or less, any such thing. Constant. That's why science and Vedanta, they go well together. Very, very well. In fact, right now science is wasting its time. Just wasting time and your tax dollars. That is all. Because everything which they are discovering, which is already discovered, it's already there. But people, human beings, they like to say, I discovered it. There are people living here. One fellow came from Europe. He said, I discovered America. Silly thing. And to fortify his position, you know what they did in Trinidad and the Caribbean islands? They killed all the people and I discovered this place. how silly this human being can become. He destroy all people there in those islands and all. You know, hear what they're doing? To discover things which are already discovered? Destroying your money. Anyway, that sansara works like that only. So, it is the same consciousness which manifests as all objects and things in the world. People say, no, Swamiji, how can you say that? Thoughts in my mind, right? They come and go. But the object seems to be stationary. I put it here, after going away, and I came back, it was still there. So, we say, how can it be just thoughts, you know? Modification of consciousness. People ask that type of question. Look here. When you ask a question like that, what you're only doing is asking a question in time. Time will come just now here also. See, a thought comes in my mind. What? I remember a story of Abraham Lincoln. So it is there in my mind for a little while. I think about it. And then it is gone. Then another one comes. Now I think of Winston Churchill. So that one gone, this one comes. So we say, thoughts in the mind, they come and go. But this object seems to be permanent. This fellow was there when I left. Came back, he's still there. He's permanent. Coming and going and permanence, they're all concepts of time and they're all relative. So if this thought lasts here for 20 years, 20 years and 20 seconds is nothing in limitless time. Both are one and same. So this thought lasts for 20 years, this other one lasts for 20 seconds. You're only talking about relative time. 20 years, 20 million years is no time in infinite time. If something lasts for 20 million years, that also is no time. So that one lasts for 20 million years, this one lasts for 20 seconds. If you really give thought to time, you will see both of them mean nothing. 20 seconds or 20 million years. See, in a vast, limitless time, beginningless time, and endless time, 20 million years is any time. Doesn't even fit here. 20 million? 20 trillion years doesn't fit here. What to talk about 20 million? Say, it becomes just like 20 seconds. So this is also a passing wisp in eternity, even though you may see that it's lasting for a long time. So from that point of view, it's just like any other thought. A thought that comes in our mind and goes. All things in the universe. Huh? And all of them are made up of consciousness. Now, in all the languages of the world we have, this first person, second person, and third person. Now you see what Bhagwan is doing here, right? He is using every possible line of thought. The line of thought of objects vis-a-vis consciousness. The line of thought of space and time. It will come just now. Line of thought of language. What is that? First person, second person, third person. He's using everything that we usually think about. All just now you'll see again. Karma. Prarabdha karma and purushartha karma. He uses all of them. That is where you start. Start thinking about this, all these things that engage your intellect, but he uses all of them as springboard to come straight back to saddarshan. You start off thinking about this, but don't waste your time there. Use it as a springboard to come to saddarshan. Because you start thinking about prarabdha, purushartha, there is no end. You start thinking about time and space, there is no end. You start thinking about relation between consciousness and objects, there is no end. Jeez. Start there, but use it as a springboard to come inside. That is his technique. Whatever you start thinking about, as long as it involves the world, and objects, and duality, and tripudi, and whatever. As long as it involves that, there is no end. Do you think there is any end to anything in this world? Any subject matter, in any field, one person will come and he will prove this, and the other one will look for all the loopholes. You know, one man one lawyer was there on his sick bed in the hospital, lying down. So his lawyer friend came to visit him. And he found that this lawyer, who was an atheist all his life, he was reading Bible. So that man said, all your life you were atheist, now in the hospital on sick bed, you're reading Bible? What are you going to get in there? He said, I'm looking for loopholes. That is what he does. So one man brings up one theory. Even if Bhagwan brings up a theory, he's always looking for loopholes. And he'll try to disprove that thing. And so the world, this kind of charcha, discussion, has no end in the world. So what technique Bhagwan is using? Look, all this charcha you are having, a discussion, vada, vivada, this, that, debate, and this one is right, this one is right, and half of the people will say Prarabdha is right, half will say Purushartha is right, half will put together also, another group will put, there is no end. Use that and just go inside and ask, who is having the discussion? That is all. So now this language, first person, second person, third person, I don't know how many persons are there. You can go on talking, but he uses these three persons now in grammar. Three persons. One little boy heard the doorbell rang, so he went and he opened the door. So one man was standing out there. So the man asked, where is your father? So that little boy said, my father are not home. Are not is always my father is not home. Huh? My father are not home. That man said, chee, 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 chee. Where is your grandma? He said, my grandma, she is upstairs. In grammar, in language also, there is proper grammar. And if you say the wrong thing, then people immediately, oh, that's your grammar is wrong. So there is in this Sanskrit language and there's in English language and all, there's always discussion about grammar. And in grammar, in Sanskrit language, the original grammar was like this. You know, we say in English, I am, you are, he, she, or it is. Right? That is English grammar. You know, in Sanskrit, that is reversed. You are, he, she, or it, he, she, or it is, you are, and I am. I am is last. Classical Sanskrit grammar. Only in modern Sanskrit books and all, when you look, the first person is put first. But that's following the English style, Western style. But in classical Sanskrit, it means to say, the last one is I. That itself gave an indication of the importance of I in the other two. The last one to be noted was I. And that last one is a substratum. Now that line of thought is given there. Now see this. Tadyushmadorasmadisam pratishtha. Tasmin vinashte smadimula bodhat. Tad yushmadasman mati varjiteka. Sthitir jvalanti sahajat manasyat. Yada asmadi vinashte. Tada atmanaha sahajastitihi. It means when the first person or the I is destroyed, removed, eliminated, then what happens? Tada Atmanah Sajastiti. Then the natural state of the self obtains or emerges. When the first person is removed, only the self is left, the natural state of the self. But when that first person is there, then also is born second person and third person. Second person and third person depends on, this is the idea, depends on first person. Tad yushmat asmat varita eka sthitihi jvalanti syat. The first person goes away, the other two drop. See, look how the truth is given there. If third person goes and second person goes, that doesn't mean to say that first person will go. In fact, we will love it. Isn't it? We love if everybody else go and I stay. This person is bothering me. When is he going to go? Like that. So I want to be there. But what Bhagwan is telling, if the first person goes, the others also go. And what remains is the pure self. Right? It is called as ekasthitihi. That state of oneness remains. When the first person is there, now second person and third person, and there is no oneness now. There's me, there's you, and there's he, she, or it. All of these things are born. So Swamiji, what you are saying is, I want the whole world to... Please remember that we are not saying that we want to destroy the whole world. That you should vanish, he, she, or it should vanish. We are not talking about that. We are talking about find the one natural state which includes all he, she, I, you, and he, all in one. If we have all in one, then there is no problem. If we have all separate, means I, you, and he, all three separate, now all the problems start. And that's what's going on in the world today. And the human problem is a problem only of this feeling of separation between you and I, and we and they. That is the root of all problems. That is why you see in scripture, you see many instances where it is said that rishis are sitting in their little kutya somewhere, in forests also. And even tigers walk by, snakes crawl by, and nothing happens. Because they have no such feeling of myself being separate from the tiger or the snake or anything. But our feeling of separation is so strong. Now, when that separation is so strong, feeling is so strong, the problem arises or not. What talk of tiger or snake? A little cockroach only, you see. A little cockroach in Trinidad. Sometimes in the rainy season or something, some little frogs like this come. We call them flying frogs. Flying frogs means from here. They land way over there. Like that. So when people see this little flying frog itself, they scream and run away. Because our feeling of separation is so strong. This little frog, which is afraid of you more than you are afraid of him, the person gets so scared because so strong feeling, that thing and me. I don't want to touch me. Eh? Like that. And we jump like crazy people. So that problem, we are saying, arises only because of strong feeling of separation. But for one who has now given up that feeling of distinction, separation, all, and he just sees one thing in the universe, all his fears go away. All, where it comes? In Vivek Churamani also, about fear. And Atma Bodha also, about fear. See, this fear comes from feeling of separation. So here, the feeling of separation is born first from the first person, I. That first person is born, then comes all others, then comes all the fear. Because Shankaracharya describes in Bhaja Govindam that a person becomes afraid of his own son. Putradapi. Bhajam bhiti. His own son, he is afraid. Because there is a strong feeling of separation. So, the philosophy is one thing, but you know, the application of the philosophy or the benefit of the philosophy in our daily life, benefit of it is when I give up this feeling of separation between you, I, me, he, she, it, all of these things, when I give up this feeling, then all fears go away. So many of our problems just drop away. So, tat yushmado yushmadoho asmad sampratishtha. That the feeling of you and he, they are rooted in asmadi. They are rooted very firmly in me. Only because me, I am there. Tasmin vinashte asmadi mulabodha. By coming to know the root of the I, then the I drops away. And so also you and he also go away. The second and third person also go away. Tadasmad. Asmad, yushmad, asmad, matihi, varjita, the absence of this tributi. What happens? Sahaja atmanha stitihi syat. The natural state of the self obtains. Natural state of the self alone is there, where there is oneness in all things and there is no such distinction of as you are. And you hear this so many times in the writings of saints or the stories of saints. One saint during the freedom time, it is said some British policemen beat up that saint like anything. They throw him on the side of the road. And his disciples brought him to the ashram and they started nursing him. And some other disciples went and they caught that policeman. They caught the policeman who beat up the saint. And then they asked that saint, what should we do with him? That saint said, you leave him alone. The same hands that beat me up are the same hands that are nursing me now. So he sees that oneness in all things. We only see, no, he's British, you know. And this fellow is British and we are such and such and they are such and such. And oh, so what you are telling is that we should let the British oppress us? No, we are not telling you that. We are telling you some goal which you are supposed to reach. You are supposed to reach a certain goal. This is the goal of spirituality. Which goal? Where there is no distinction. I am able to see all things same. The oneness in all things. Eka sthitihi is called here. The state of oneness of all things. I am supposed to reach that state. Now, before I reach that state, I may find myself in situations where I have a duty like Arjuna. Arjuna has a duty to fight or not? He has a duty to fight. So it is not telling don't do your duty or anything like that. In fact, your duty is one of the means or your sadhana on the path to reaching that state of oneness. So you have to do that duty, whatever it requires. Don't take the examples out of context. Now here comes a most wonderful discussion. In this country, you have seen people writing many, many articles and books and all about time and such things. Bhagwan wrote it. He told it such a long time ago, you know, about time. And there are many people in this. You know, in today's world, plagiarism is more rampant than when it was not controlled. We're trying to control plagiarism and it is more rampant than when there was no laws controlling plagiarism and all. People just go on copying other people's ideas and all and they don't give any credit also. Amazing thing. So here how wonderfully he has presented this concept of time. And now using time now again to go back to the Sadarshan, Atma Darshan. Swatma Rupataha. One's own self. Bhutam Bhavish. Bhutam bhavishyat cha bhavat svakale.
Bhutam bhavishyat cha bhavat svakale.
तद्वर्तमानस्य विहाय तत्त्वम् हास्यान किं स्यात् गतभाविचर्चा विनयकसंख्यां गणनेव लोके भूतम् भूतम् इज़ पास्ट भविष्यत् भविष्य मीन्स फ्यूचर भविष्यत् च च मीन्स एंड सो पास्ट एंड फ्यूचर स्वकाले भवत् इन देयर ओन टाइम दिस इज अ वंडरफुल स्टेटमेंट इन देयर ओन टाइम दे वर प्रेजेंट ओनली पास्ट एंड फ्यूचर इन देयर ओन टाइम दे वर प्रेजेंट ओनली तद वर्तमानस्य विहाय तत्त्वम् सो ही सेज विहाय मीन्स कैस्टिंग आउट दिस विहाय वर्ड वाज यूज्ड इन द फर्स्ट वर्स आल्सो कैस्टिंग आउट लीविंग डिनाइंग व्हाट वर्तमान द प्रेजेंट मोमेंट डिनाइंग द प्रेजेंट मोमेंट इजंट इट लाफेबल टू गो ऑन टॉकिंग अबाउट पास्ट एंड फ्यूचर बिकॉज एवरी पास्ट मोमेंट और एवरी फ्यूचर मोमेंट वॉज एट सम टाइम present moment. That's a little bit difficult to understand. Let us study it from another angle again. But the same idea, you know, what he's telling. Very wonderful thing. Look here. See this glass of water. Can you drink this glass of water yesterday? Not possible. Can you drink this glass of water tomorrow? Again, not possible. What? Yes, I can wait till tomorrow. See, today is Saturday. Today is Saturday, na? Sunday. Today is Sunday. I can wait until Monday and I'll drink it. Right? Are, if you wait until Monday and you're drinking it, it will not be tomorrow. It will be today, isn't it? The moment when you are drinking it, it will only be a today, na? Even better than that, more precise. The moment when you are drinking it will only be a now. You cannot drink it after or before. You can only drink it now. That is an amazing fact about time. You can only do anything in a present moment. You cannot do it tomorrow, in a future time, or you cannot do it in a past time. All things are present only, are possible only in a present time. So like, I cannot talk to you tomorrow, nor can I talk to you yesterday. I can talk to you only now. Now, one more thing. It means to say that only the present moment is a real moment. The future is an imaginary moment. I'm imagining what will be that situation. That is imaginary. And past is only memory. No, memory also is not a real thing. See, a memory of my father who has passed away and my father, are they the same thing? No, that is like a picture only, isn't it? A picture of my father and my father, are they same? They can't be. A memory of a person and the person, they cannot be the same thing. And an imagination of something and the thing cannot also be same thing. So future is imagination, past is memory. So both are unreal actually. So this is the only real thing is this moment which is in front of me. Right now, and this is the only moment in which I can do something. Now the implication of this is of course far reaching, right? But one more thing now. Let us study the present moment because we are saying only the present moment is real. Let us study the present moment also. Which moment am I actually speaking about as real? When I say this moment is the real moment, the moment I say this, it has gone. I cannot even get to finish the statement. And the moment has gone. This proves the unreality of time. Time itself is so unreal. It's fleeting. Time in Sanskrit is kramasamvit. Kramasamvit means the experience of sequence. The experience of sequence means what? I say this moment, and by the time I finish saying it, it is gone, and the next one comes. And because this one is gone, and the next one comes, I have, in my mind, a semblance of time. And I'm saying a semblance of time because that krama, or that sequence, changes depending on your state of mind. The sequence changes depending on the state of mind. What is the meaning of that? If you are happy, the sequence goes very fast. If you are miserable, that sequence doesn't seem to go at all. Huh? So there's a semblance of time depending on the state of the mind. The mind's sequence of thoughts is actually what is time. It's an amazing thing. When you're enjoying anything in this world, time went away. And when you have some pain, doctor tell me it will go away in 4 days. But these 4 days doesn't seem to be going. Huh? One fellow went to a doctor and said, "Doctor, I have this pain in my back." The doctor said, "You go home. And normally you'll drink 1 glass of water per day, no? Drink 1 liter per day." So he said, "Really?" "Yeah, for 5 days." "After 5 days it will go away? That pain?" The doctor said, "No, but after 5 days you'll get used to it." Pain will not go. It will be there. But anyway, that state of mind is what creates our own, and each person, that means to say what? Each person has his own time then, isn't it? We say it in our language also. Look at him. He's going at his own time. Each person has his own time, really, depending on our state of mind. And there is no one thing that you can actually point to, which is this moment. Impossible. Another thing about time, you know. Because the mind is the one that is responsible for creating time. And since as long as the mind is there, time will be there. But what we can do is little mental exercises. So you take 1 second, right? And you divide it into two. You throw away half. So you're left with one more second. Half a second. You divide this half a second into two, right? And you throw away half and you keep the remaining half. You divide that into two. Now, you keep dividing. Theoretically, how far you can go down? Theoretically infinite, isn't it? You can go infinite. It means to say time has no end. Infinitely you can go dividing that little piece which is left. And now we have gone to nanoseconds and all. What is that? 10 to the minus 9. 1 billionth of a second or something? Nanosecond. But nanosecond in this theory which we are just telling here now. How far down you can go? Nanosecond also you can go on. Billionth is nothing. 10 to the minus 9? 10 to the minus 9 million also you can go. Na? On and on. So time, from that point of view, has no end. There is no limit on either side. Whether it's the smallest fraction of time or the longest period of time. On both sides, no limit. So if you keep on thinking about time like that, there is no end to your thinking. So that is why Bhagavan is telling now, see, that this time has no end. And here he gives an example before he finishes this idea in the next verse. He gives an example. He tells, without accepting the concept of one, how are you going to go to the number two and number three? In other words, if you don't accept the present moment, why are you going on talking about past and future? And the idea here is, If you're going to start your sadhana, if you're going to do something, you have to do it right now, in this time, and don't wait for any future time. Because you can't do it in a future time. You can only do it in a present time. But now the ephemeral nature of time and its co-partner, which is called space, that is now taken up in the next verse. How fleeting both of them are, and how lacking in substance. Number 18. Kwa bhati dikkala katha vinasman. Dikkala lile havapur vayam chet. Na kvapi bhamo na kadapi bhamaha. Vayam tu sarvatra sadacha bhamaha. Asman vina, without me. Dikkal katha. Kwa bhati, where is there any talk of space and time? So that takes us back to what we're talking about just now. See, I can go infinitely with time on any side, where there's a long time or the smallest fraction of time like that, or whether infinitely in the past, infinitely in the future. I can go on and on and on. But all talk of time and now space also. Any talk of time or space depends on me. I must first be there. And not only that, see one more thing. Just now I said that time is kramasam within Sanskrit. Kramasam between what? Experience of sequence, right? Can there be any experience of sequence if there is not one who is standing outside the sequence and seeing the sequence? Can there be any experience of any sequence if there is not some stationary being who is seeing the sequence? There can't, isn't it? So asman vina, without me, the one who is stationary, the one who is still, the one who is unmoving, achalam, without me, where is there any talk of time or space? There can be no sequence without the one who is observing the sequence. There must be somebody, like I tell, na, you go and stand on the highway and count cars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, how many cars passed? Right? If you are sitting in one of those cars, can you count? You cannot count. You have to be standing there only still on the highway. In the very same way, if I can see all the sequence of time going, it means I am still. My nature is stillness, actually. And that goes for all thoughts and all. So dikkala lila iha lila iha vapuhu vayam che. As long as I'm sitting in this body and I hold myself to be the body, this body, mind and intellect, they will be subjected to the lila of time and space. But when I go deeper than the body, so this is the indication here, when I go deeper than the mind, deeper than the intellect, beyond all of them, then I come to the true witness of the time and space and its leela. Because remember, the leela of time is also affecting the BMI, isn't it? The leela of time is also affecting BMI, because BMI is subject to the leela of time and space also. Like long ago, I used to take up more space, you know. I mean, long ago, I used to take up less space. Nowadays, I take up more space. You know, on airplanes, if they used to charge according to weight and space, my ticket would have been half the cost. That is space, na? I'm taking up less space. And time also. What a fleeting thing. This body, over time, it used to look... I remember seeing a picture of my grandfather. you know, my grandfather died and left, and still he could not convince me that was his picture. How I know grandfather and how his picture looked? Totally different. I can't believe. He never convinced me that this really is he himself when he was 18 or 19. I know him in his 60s or 70s, right? Can't believe it's the same person. What? That is the rigors of time. It affects body, mind, intellect. See, your own mind also. At one time, mind is happy. Next time, same mind. So they call it Kala Leela. The Kala Leela in the second line is given. The Leela of time and space affects the BMI also. So as long as there's BMI, Leela of time and space will be there. As long as I feel I am BMI. So I will be subjected to the Leela of time and space. All the plays. And the time and space, they play really, really funny games. Not only funny games, serious games also. They play with me. And when some favorable time is there, we don't want it to go. And when some unfavorable time is there, we want it to go. And it never happens. Both never happen. That is an amazing thing. Now, that third line is a very, very strange line. Na kvapi bhamaha. Na kadapi bhamaha. I do not shine in any place, and I do not shine in any time. Oh, we do not. We, plural, is given here. We do not shine in any place, or we do not shine in any time. And then in the next line, vayam tu sarvatra kada sada cha bhama. But we shine in every place and in every time. What? Just now you just said we don't shine in any place and we don't shine in any time. And now you're saying we shine in every place and in every time. A contradictory statement, isn't it? So that has to be understood as this. I don't merely shine in any particular place or in any particular time. I shine at all times and in all places. What it means? Last line. I am beyond time and space. That is what it means. I'm not within the realm of time and space. That is the meaning. I am beyond any time and any space. I am the one who is seeing the things caused by the Leela of time and space, the coming and going. How nicely he has put together all of these verses. Now, about this person who is seeing the march of time and space, the Leela of time and space. People have many ideas about that realized person, you know. People say he's like this, he's like that, he's the other. People have their own description and all. Bhagwan, see, we're getting it, as we say in English, straight from the horse's mouth. He himself is telling now. How does he realize soul, live, walk, talk, eat, laugh, whatever, what he does? How does he do that? And Arjuna is asking Bhagwan Shri Krishna this in the second chapter of Gita also. Now see here. What is his vision? How he sees the world and all that? Dehatma bhave gnyajaro samano.
Dehatma bhave gnyajaro samano.
Ekasya dehe yadi deepta atma.
Ekasya dehe yadi deepta atma.
Akramya deham cha jagat cha purnam.
Akramya deham cha jagat cha purnam.
Let me do that again. Akramya deham cha jagat cha purnam.
Akramya deham cha jagat cha purnam.
Yah purnaha. Akramya deham cha jagat cha purnaha.
Akramya deham cha jagat cha purnaha.
Parasya meyam tanumatram atma.
Parasya meyam tanumatram atma.
Dehatma bhave gnya jadau cha. You'll have to put samano. From the point of view of the body, for the gnya, gnya means realized man, person. Gnya. What a nice name for realized person. Gnya. And jarau. Jarau means unrealized. Jarau is you and I. Gnya means realized person. From the point of view of body, Both are same. Samano. Same. It means to say what? Suddenly the realized soul doesn't say. See? Suppose he eats food. So somebody asks. So you ate food? Then he suddenly doesn't change his language. No, I did not eat food. This body ate food. He doesn't talk like that. This body ate food. No, the realized person will say, I ate food. And the unrealized person, he will also say, I ate food. From the point of view of the body, both are same. They act and walk and talk and do everything same. Then, ekasya, for the first one, dehe hridi deepta atma akramya deham cha jagat cha purnaha. But for the realized soul, he sees in this body, dehe, in the heart, deepta atma, the self shining. He sees the self shining and the same self pervades akramya. This body and the whole jagat, purnaha jagat, with the entire universe. He sees the one self pervading every iota of this body and pervading every iota of the whole universe. And the other fellow, parasya meyam tanu matram atma, he thinks that the self starts here and ends here. His self starts here and ends here. That is the difference. From the point of view of the actions of the body and the use of the body, both of them are same. From the point of view of the understanding with regard to this body, one sees the Atma pervading this body and the Atma pervading the whole world. And the other one sees what? What Atma? No Atma also. He thinks I am this body. This is me. This is the extent of my existence. And it, full stop. There is no greater, no other understanding. So I start here and stop right here. So, our vision of both of them remain same. But the realized master's vision of himself is a vision of Purnatvam. One who is pervading all things. He sees himself as pervading all things. And the unrealized person, well, we see ourselves as so less pervasive. So, in fact, we have to make a very, very big effort to see ourselves as connected to anybody. We are good at connecting ourselves to people who we see to be ours, you know. It is my family, it is my children, my parents, my, like that, we connect to those people. And because that is some limited connection, we get ourselves into real big trouble. I tell, in this science, you have two options. In this world, everybody is mine. Or nobody is mine. Any middle position, you are in trouble. One fellow went to a psychiatrist and he told, doctor, I'm having this big problem. What is the problem? Every time I look out my window, I see a ghost sitting on my fence post. The ghost is sitting on the fence post. That doctor said, easy solution. Go and put some spikes on the fence post. Some sharp spikes. Let's see where he'll sit now. But if you're sitting on a fence post, or you're sitting on the fence, you are in trouble. Either you stay this side or stay that side. What do you do on the fence? So, either I say everybody in this world is mine, or nobody in this world is mine. But when I hold that middle position, no, only these people are mine. These are not, and these are not. Only these are mine. Then you have now set up yourself for some real problems. So, the realized soul sees everybody as, he is everybody. What to talk about? Owning, he doesn't own it. He is everybody. That position is fine. And in our case, I am not everybody. I am just me. And I just extend to this little group around me here. So I can identify with them, but I cannot identify with the whole rest of the world. So finding self is finding identification with all things. What about the world? See, just now you're talking about the body. For the realized soul, he sees the Atma is pervading this body and pervading all things. And the ignorant person, he sees the Atma is only this body. This is all, not beyond that. What about their relationship with the world? What do they think about the rest of the world? I already hinted to that. See, now this is dealt with in number 20. Agnyasya vignyasya cha vishvamasti.
Agnyasya vignyasya cha vishvamasti.
Purvasya drishyam jagadeva satyam.
Purvasya drishyam jagadeva satyam.
Parasya drishyashraya bhutamekam.
Parasya drishyashraya bhutamekam.
Satyam prapurnam pravibhatya rupam.
Satyam prapurnam pravibhatya rupam.
Agnyasya vignyasya cha vishwam asti. For both of them, the world exists. So this is now verifying what I was telling in the morning. Don't think for a realized soul suddenly the world disappears. It doesn't see anything. He says, agnyasya, for the ignorant man, and vignyasya, for the enlightened man. For both of them, vishwam asti, the world is there, very much there. The world is not suddenly disappeared or something. But now what is the difference? Urvasya, for the first one, who is the ignorant person, drishyam jagadeva satyam, whatever he sees in front of him, that itself is true. That is the truth. Whatever he sees in front of him. This is pashu. Pashyati iti pashu. Whatever the animal, whatever he sees, that is truth. Beyond that, don't tell anything. Whatever. And do you know the vast majority of humanity lives like this only? The vast majority of humanity lives only like this. It means to say, when I go into the potter's shop, I see clay elephant, clay dog, you know, clay cat, clay giraffe, everything made out of clay, right? Clay pot, clay plate, spoon, everything clay. I overlook clay and see only the objects and symmetry and size and beauty and all the other things. And I see so many different things there except clay. I overlook everything. That is called as, it means I overlook the main thing and see all the variety. That is called as pashu. So when we look at the world, what we see only variety. Oh, what a nice car. It's a Chrysler, GM. So we see the variety very fast. Huh? Any piece of cloth or something. Silk or... Not silk. It looks like something. That must be polyester. So we overlook thread and all that kind of thing. We overlook the basic material. We're thinking, or the quality, price. It looks like expensive cloth, you know. Or the style. Maybe that's the one that was released in Paris last week. Modern, you know what you call them? No? Designer. Yeah, they have very famous designers and all. So we are quickly taken up by the variety, and we don't train ourselves to see the fundamental thing. So the whole world lives like pashu actually. So what is being spoken about here? We have to come out, lift ourselves out from that trap of maya, which is so good at keeping us in all the variety, and we overlook the one thing in the universe. So for this person, what he sees in front of him, that is real. There's a real variety, there's a real everything, and he runs after the world with all thinking all of them to be real. But parasya, the other one, The second one, the enlightened one now, is spoken about in the third verse, in third line. Drishya Shraya Bhutam Ekam Satyam Purnam Arupam Pravibhati. But he, when the other one looks at the same world, for the, both of them the same world exists. But when one sees the world, he thinks it to be real. When the other sees the world, he sees the one real thing in the world. The first one sees everything and thinks that they are real as they are. The other one looks at them and he sees in all of them there is one real thing, which is Purna, Prapurna, full, complete, total. Desha Kala Vastu Aparichinna. That is called Desha Kala Vastu Aparichinna, means that full, one, total reality which is not broken up, not fragmented by time, space, or object. So it means to say, when you look at the potter's shop, for instance, and you see all of these objects, right? So you have a choice now. You're going to look at the variety of objects, or you're going to look at the clay. That is your choice. If you look at the clay, then you come to understand. Of course, the clay is a limited example also, right? It has its limitations. The clay example will be limited. In meaning to say, when you have a choice to look at all the variety, or you have a choice to look at the oneness. So in the case of the self here, in this universe, you have a choice now. Am I going to look at all this variety, or am I going to look at the pure existence from which all these things are made up? That is the choice before you. And if you look at the variety only and take them to be real without seeing the existence, then we are Pashu. Because we are only taking what we see to be real. But if you train the vision to go a little deeper and see the existence, then we have come out of that animalistic existence. We are now heading into divine existence. So real evolution is to move from humanity to divinity, really. To move from humanity to divinity requires seeing the one thing that makes up everything. That one thing which is called, described in so many words, you know. It is Satyam, it is Prapurnam, it is Arupam, it is Drishyashraya. It is a thing upon which, or from which, all the seen objects are fashioned out, carved out, made out. That drishya ashraya. All things which we see, they have their foundation in this one thing, which is purna, which is satyam, which is sat. Sat means satyam, the one true thing, which is arupam, without form. And you know, because it is without form, it can take any form. That also is a law about this universe. Something which is without form only can take any form. So can you take the form of a cow? Try. How you'll take the form of a cow? Because you're already fixed in a form, isn't it? You're already fixed in one form, so you cannot take the form of a cow. But for a thing which has no form, then is ready to take on any form. Now see, clay for instance. Clay can take on many forms, right? Because it doesn't have any particular fixed form. But because it is clay already, that also is a form. Clay by itself is also a form. But it doesn't have any other fixed forms like objects which we know. So it can take on many forms, but there are still so many forms which clay cannot take on. That has its limitations also. It can take on only a limited number of forms. Like clay, you can make clay into a pot. You can make clay into a car, into a donkey, right? Acha, theek hai. Make clay into a thought. You cannot take on that form, isn't it? Make clay into air. It cannot take on the form of air. So it will have limitations. But now self, it is totally without form. And so it is ready to take on any form. It is same self which takes on the form of a thought. As chit. Modified chit. Chit vilas, it is called. That is the technical term for it. Vilas means the manifestations of chit. Chit manifesting in all different thoughts and forms. The play of chit. Like the play of water. How water plays and comes out as waves and froth and bubbles and goes back again into the water and again comes back. It's called water vilas. So chit vilas. How the consciousness is forming itself into so many countless infinite variety of things. And going, dissolving and again coming back and dissolving and coming back. It's called chit vilas. So chit is ready to take on any form because it is without form. Absolutely without form. It's called arupa. You see? So the self, that self is seen by the vijna. Vijna means one who sees. And he knows that whatever he's seeing in front of him is only a vilas, a play of chit. And the other one, he doesn't see any vilas. What vilas? Nothing. That is real. And I want it also. And if you come in between, I'll remove you too. Isn't it? That is how the ordinary person lives. This is a real thing. I'm going to bid on it. So he puts up. Now online also you could bid for so many things. Na? And but people go on trying to outbid this one, outbid that one. Huh? One fellow saw a parrot. You know? I told you there's so many parrot jokes, you know. In an auction. So it was a very, very beautiful parrot. So he went on bidding on that parrot. You know, people were there bidding also. He went on bidding on that parrot. 200, 250, 300, 350, 400, 500, 600. On and on, your part, that thing went to 2,000. So finally he got it for 2,000. After bidding. Then he asked that auctioneer, does he speak? He said, who do you think was bidding against you all this time? That part only got him. Anyway, so whatever we see in the world, we take the thing to be so real and we want it immediately. So even if we have to go on bidding to get that thing, isn't it? So real we take everything to be. This realized person, he sees the one reality which is behind the things which we think to be real. That is what has to be seen. Now there's a big question, eternal question. It will never go away. Whichever center we go, any Swami, any speaker, any person who, forget Swami speaker, even among people who are not Swami, who just discuss, they go on arguing about this thing. But do we have freedom of choice or is everything destined? So Bhagavan says, look, this discussion has no end. It will go on and on and on. And it will only come to an end when we realize the self. As long as we are in this body and we go on taking ourselves to be the body, mind, intellect, this discussion will have no end. And you yourself will go on shifting your ground. One day you will believe everything is fate only. Next day you will say, no such thing like fate. I can make my destiny and I can carve out my destiny. It is in my hands. And you will hear one lecture saying this, and one lecture will say that. Then no end. The only time it will come like that is when we realize self. So that is again, he uses that discussion now to again come back to Saddarshan. See now, this is number 21. Vidhe prayatnasya chako pivadaha. Vidhehe prayatnasya cha kopi vadaha. Vada means that people go on talking and discussing. What about vidhe? Of destiny. Videhe. Of destiny. And they go on talking about prayatna. Prayatnasya. Of effort. Self-effort. So people go on talking about destiny and self-effort. Or what we call as prarabdha and purushartha. This discussion goes on and on and on. Then, tayoho dvayoho. Of these two, mulam ajanatam syat. Means if the root of the two are not known. See the dvandva again. And the root of the dvandva, the one who is discussing about purushartha and prarabdha, these two. That one who is discussing. Wait, first of all, let us say, he is there or not? He's there now. The one who is discussing. The one who is arguing and having all of this heated debate and all. He's there. His root has to be found. And until his root is not found, this discussion will never end. And one will always seem to be right and the other one will seem to be wrong. And then you yourself will change your position. You know, I like this technique of Bhagavan. He says, look, why are you bothering your head about prarabdha purushartha? Find the one who is asking the question. Videhe prayatnasya cha mulavastu. Mulavastu means the reality upon which both are playing out as leela. Purushartha and prarabdha. Find that sanjanatam, one who knows that na eva vidhir na yatnaha, the one who comes to find that root upon which, or the substratum upon which both are playing out. That person, for that person, there is no such thing as destiny and there is no such thing as purushartha also. There is no fate or no purushartha. Both disappear. Otherwise, as long as I haven't found that one, I go on asking this, and this question will come again. It will never stop coming. Finding the self. What is this vision? Real vision of oneself. See now, in 22. Still people have questions about that. You know, purushartha, prarabdha, purushartha, prarabdha. Is all destined or not destined? Any explanation I give you of that thing now, your question will still come back. Therefore, I don't venture also to, means when I'm telling this verse, but sometimes, you know, now see here, tomorrow we're supposed to have Q&A. That question will come. I'm saying that any answer I give, you'll mull over that answer a little bit in your mind, and again, question will come. And there's no end to that. And I tell you one more thing. See, Gurudev also answered that question. And you will see in his writings and all. He said very simply, whatever comes to us in life, that is prarabdha. How we respond to that thing, that is called as purushartha. Right? Some people sit down and they think. Then from that explanation of Gurudev, now more questions come. And then they go and they quote Sri Ramana Maharishi also said at one place, there is no such thing as purushartha. He's really said. Now they come and ask, how that Mahatma is saying that? That Mahatma is saying something else. So that question also comes now. So that's why Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi gave this verse. You see, if you go on thinking like that, there is no end. Why to be bothered about it? Find the one who is asking the question. That is his idea. When we find that one, we get true Ishwara Darshan, Atma Darshan, Sat Darshan, or whatever you want to call it. That is now spoken about in 22. Yadi Shitur Vikshana Mikshitaram. Avikshatan manasika ke kshanam syat. Avikshatan manasika ke kshanam na drashturanya paramohitasya. Viksha swamule praviliya nishtha.
Viksha swamule praviliya nishtha.
This also touches on a very wonderful question which people have, you know. Many people ask, is it true that Bhagavan Sri Ram appeared to Tulsidas ji? Or Hanumanji appeared to Tulsidas ji? Or Lord Krishna appeared to Surdas? You know, like that, that kind of vision? People have that question all the time. That, so the Lord appears? You mean, if I really meditate on the Lord, some form of the Lord, he'll appear? But the answer to that, easy answer to that, yes, he'll appear. But Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi says, that appearance will still only be within the realm of your mind. It means the appearance will still be of a limited form and shape and all that. So that is not the goal. Even though that is possible and that happens, that is not the goal. So the Lord can appear and does appear and will appear also. But if I say the Lord appears in front of me, then I can only be talking about a form, isn't it? And if I'm talking about a form, I can only be talking about something limited, isn't it? If it is limited, it falls within the realm of the mind. That is meaning manasika. Manasika in the second line. See? Yat ishituhu, this is the anvaya. Yat ishituhu vikshanam ikshitaram aviksha manasika ikshanam syat. That if, or whatever vision I have, whatever vision I have, ishituhu vikshanam, or any desire I have also to see Bhagwan, whichever vision I have, that will only be manasika ikshanam. It can only be something falling within the realm of the mind, and so limited. But true vision, drashtuhu paramaha nahi anya asti. True vision is, that is the second and third line. True vision really is to know that there is no difference between myself and the Ishvara. Between myself and the Absolute. That is called true vision of Lord. Any other vision I see outside, though it is a vision of the Lord, it suffers the same fate as all the other things in the world. Because when I see this, when I see anything in the world, it's a limited thing. If it is limited, it has come also, it will also go. Whatever comes will go. Whatever falls within the realm of the mind is limited. So if I see some form of the Lord now appear before me, all the same rules will appear. He has come, he will go. If I'm seeing him, that means he falls within the realm of the mind. He is limited. So any vision of the Lord like that also falls within the same category of all things of the world. So real true vision then is what? When I see, as I told you, drashtuhu paramaha nahi anya asti. When I don't see any difference between myself and drashtu. Drashtu means Ishvara. Only when I come to discover my oneness with Ishvara, that is called Saddarshan or Atma Darshan or Ishvara Darshan or whatever darshan you want, name you want to give. Only when I come to see my oneness with all the others, it might be darshan, but it is still a limited darshan. So that is not the goal in Vedanta. Though it is a very nice thing also. If Bhagwan can appear before me, oh, how much of Shraddha it will develop in me. How much strong Shraddha will come. How much love will flow from my heart. How much purity of mind I will get. How many things I will happen to me, isn't it? If Bhagwan appears before me. So we are not discounting any such thing. But Bhagwan Sri Ramana Maharishi is saying still that is not the highest goal. The highest goal is to know my oneness with Ishvara. Tasya viksha swamule praviliya nishtha. And to find that oneness with Ishvara and get established in that. That is being established in the root of my own being. That is the highest state. Huh? Not that, I want to go on getting darshan of Bhagwan every day. So he appears to me this morning. And then the rest of the day, I'm still miserable. So Bhagwan appeared to me. If you read Bhagavatam and you read some of the Puranas and all, you will see that also is there. A person has had darshan of Bhagwan. And then Bhagwan appeared to somebody else. Now this person is, how he appeared here? This person is jealous, or this person is thinking, no, Bhagwan is appearing more frequently to that person and not to me. Again, all trouble starts. So many Puranas, you will see this thing. Huh? One fellow, he's doing tapas. What? To get darshan of Bhagwan. He wants Bhagwan to appear. So his neighbor saw him. Hey, he's doing tapas. Maybe I should do tapas also. So he started doing tapas. So Bhagwan came to this fellow first. What do you want? He said, Bhagwan, he about to outline what he wants, you know. Bhagwan said, stop. Hold up. Before you tell what you want, remember, anything I give you, I'll have to give that fellow there twice. Because he's also doing tapas. And his tapas is stronger than yours. You don't know, but I know. So anything you wish for, I'll have to give him twice. So he thought for a moment. This Bhagwan is... He always has some catch, you know. Some notwithstanding clause. Yeah, fine print is there always. Acha, theek hai. You give me $1,000,000. You remember I'll have to give that fellow twice, huh? Oh, okay, no problem. Give him twice. So he gave him $1,000,000. Then he went there, gave that fellow also $2,000,000. Then again he went in. Again Bhagwan came after some time. Now what you want? Now I want a big palatial mansion. Remember I'll have to give him two, eh? Okay, no problem. So he gave him, then went and gave that fellow. And this fellow is thinking, I'm doing all these tapas and I could never outdo that fellow. What is this? Finally, again he did, and again Bhagwan came. Now what you want? Now I want you to make me blind in one eye. No, you'll have to give him twice. See, even in the idea is, in these kind of stories, you know, even getting Bhagavad Darshan, greed and confusion and all the other things, that doesn't mean to say that they will go away. The no vision of the goal, nothing. Getting Bhagavad Darshan like that doesn't send away. There's no guarantee of sending away all of these things, you see. That is why he's telling about finding our mool. This mool word he likes. Mool means root. Finding the root of my being. The root of myself. So he likes this word very much. And he goes on telling again and again. Finding that swamule nishtha praviliya. Having merged, being absorbed and abiding in one's own mool. That is the true Ishvara Darshan. Nothing else. No, what about people who study Vedas and study Upanishads and all, and the Upanishads and Vedas and all go on saying, have Atma Darshan or have the vision of the seer? There are words that are, different words that are used. Have Atma Darshan, have Darshan of the Self. So different words are used, you know. Sometimes it appears that I'm going to see something other than me. Words actually have their limitations. When I say I'll get Bhagavad Darshan, it seems as though I'm going to get Darshan of something other than my myself. In Aranyakanda, Tulsidasji writes also, Bhagwan Sri Ram is telling that the most wonderful thing about Bhagavad Darshan is that the jiva comes to see his own self. Even Tulsidasji is telling, even though this is a Bhakti Shastra, also Gyan Upanishadic lines are there. Bhagavad Darshan means one coming to see one's own self. So, what about these words of Upanishads? What they say about this vision? And it ends in a very wonderful line also. You see an interesting line. Atmanamikshetha param prapashyet. Ityagamukte sulabho na bhavaha. Natmeva drishyo yadika katheshe. Swayam tadanniya bhava. Swayam tadanniya bhavanam tadiksha. Swayam tadanni bhavanam tadiksha. Atmanam ikshate. First one. The Upanishad, see, it says here, iti agama ukte. Iti agama ukte. This is the, these are the words of the agama. Agama means Upanishads. What the Upanishad says, atmanam ikshata. That the self should be, one should see the self. These are quotes from Upanishads. He's first quoting Upanishad and then he'll tell his own. Let us see what he says. Atmanam ikshata. The Upanishad says that one should see the self. Then the Upanishads also say, param prapashyet. One should see the Lord. These are the saying, iti agama uktehe. And then he says, sulabha na bhavaha. This is not easy to achieve. See the Lord or see the self. It's not very easy. Na atmeva drishyaha yadika kathe isha. If one were to say, well, the Atma is not something that you can see. The Atma is not something that you can see. That person will be right. But the Upanishads are saying, see Atma, see self. So that see word can lead to some misunderstanding, isn't it? See the Atma, see the self. Because Pash, Drish is the root in Sanskrit. Drish means to see. And Drish becomes Pash. Pashyati, Pashyami, like that. So I must see the self. Prapashyet, word is given, Pashyeta, like that. A potential and imperative mood. So when we see that, it's giving a command, I should see. So I'm looking forward to seeing something. You know, many people sit in meditation looking forward to seeing something. Huh? One person came to our Gurudev and said, you know, I was seeing a red light. Then I was seeing yellow light. Then I saw green light. Gurudev said, you're watching traffic light or what? People hope to see some blast of light or some such thing. We are talking about quietude of mind, isn't it? Why are you expecting to see some blast? That means what a blast of rajas, isn't it? And here you're going, it is called gunatita, means you've gone beyond all three gunas. When all rajas, tamas, sattva, nothing is acting in that realm. So don't hope to see any blaze of glory, something. And hoping to see some great thing. You're talking about absolute quietude. Huh? So, he says, what we should do? Swayam tad anni bhavanam tadiksha. That we have to become tad anni for that bhavanam. We have to become food for that. Food? How to? What a strange way to end this verse, you know. For that self, we have to become food. It means don't hope to go on seeing something positively. Become food means what? If you think of food, you see, when you consume food, the food goes inside and becomes one with the rest of the body, isn't it? So let us say, aloo, potato. You eat potato, right? The potato goes inside and becomes hands and fingers and all the other things, isn't it? It is not that the hands and fingers become potato. Otherwise, today you look like a potato, tomorrow like baigan. It is not that the vegetable, it is the vegetable that comes and becomes the body. It is not that the body becomes the vegetable. It means the vegetable comes and it gets dissolved in the body. So in the very same way, I should be food for the Atma. Means what? I dissolve in the Atma. So now there is no body left to see anything. That is the idea. And the Atma is of the nature of pure quietude, peace, tranquility, like that. If the Atma is like that, then means I should also become like pure tranquility, peaceful, you know, like that. And then I dissolve. You're not going to person is running alongside a train. See, in India, this is a very common sight. And people like to do that rather than go inside the train when it is standing there. Nobody likes to go inside the train when it is standing. Huh? Only when that train has started. People like to go and jump in. But what you have to do, see, when the train has started, you cannot be standing still and then jump in. You'll hit your face against that thing, isn't it? You also have to be running. So you go same speed with the train and then you just slip in. You glide in. So in the very same way, self is of the nature of pure peace. Our BMI is racing. Our BMI is racing. So that BMI cannot merge in that self. So when that intellect, mind and all, antakaran made calm and calm and calm and peaceful, you know, what happens? It just evaporates in the surrounding self. Nothing has to be done after. It has to be made to come to the same state as the self and just evaporates. Until it does that. You see, like ice, a cube of ice floating in water. It is solid. It has to make itself liquid. Then it evaporates in the rest of the water. Becomes indistinguishable from the rest of the water. This is the goal. Huh? That is the meaning of making yourself food. Be digested by the self. Be absorbed by the self. Very interesting. Line of sadhana. Because that's a sadhana. You see, you have to become food for the self. Allow yourself to be digested, assimilated by the self. Because that's what happens to food. By allowing your antakarana to become calm and calm and peaceful in your seat of meditation. All right. So we finished many today. Tomorrow we'll finish it. Yeah. Either that gets finished or we get finished. Something will get finished. On. Okay. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.